From the Red Line Report, Kyle Woodleaf joins us once again. Kyle, you've been doing this for a long time. I know I'm patiently waiting for your final one to come out. Does the Memorial Cup, and I know there's not a ton of draft-eligible players in it, but a guy like Edgars Kolba, you know, there's a few others. Does a good Memorial Cup impact the rankings very much?
Slightly, not that much, though. I mean, you know, the guys like Robbie Fabry and, you know, Dyson Mayo, Aaron Irving, you know, there was plenty of prospects, and there are every year. But, you know, I don't think Robbie Fabry is going to move, you know, more than a spot from where he had been on our list. You know, Dyson Mayo may move up a couple of slots. Aaron Irving may move down a couple of slots, but nothing significant. I mean, you've got your evaluations on them all year to go on.
Looking at Mayo and Irving, I've looked at a lot of rankings. A lot of people have Irving higher. Who do you have higher?
We've got Irving higher. You know, Irving, after the first half of the season he had right in through January, was in our first round at Redline Report, and we kind of expected him, you know, the typical scenario for first-year players. I mean, this is his first year in the WHL, and you know, he came in and played well offensively in the first 4 months of the season, and typically it's the opposite way around, where guys will be finding their way in their first half season and then take off the second half. But it seemed like the coaching staff started kind of sheltering his offensive minutes down the stretch a bit, and so he didn't produce much offensively, whereas Dyson Mayo came on down the stretch. But Irving was a ways ahead of him at the top of the stretch here in February and March. You know, Mayo closed the gap, but I think long term Irving still has more upside to his game.
What do you like best about his game more than Mayo?
Well, Irving is more physically active in his own end, and he's actually a really good two-way defender. He's he can be part of a shutdown pairing. Mayo at this point is more of a puck-moving, finesse-style defenseman.
Edgar's called a 19-year-old player because he has a late birthday. He'll be 20 in November, Kyle. Players like that, historically, we're seeing Tanner Pearson right now, got bypassed twice and, you know, was the 30th pick overall for the Kings and is having a heck of a run. When you're ranking guys, how much does, you know, that extra age either help them or hurt them in the rankings?
Every year it seems like we have more and more second and third year draft eligibles. In this particular draft year, because it's such a weak year, I'm seeing on our list that there's probably as much as 15% to 20% higher second and third year eligibles on our list than there normally would be. I mean, we rank about 350 players during the course of a season, and I would say that, you know, generally speaking, you'll have 30-35 players on your list who are second or third year eligibles. There's probably close to 50 of those type players this year. And that's just, again, because it's a weaker draft year. So you're looking for talent anywhere you can find it, and guys like Kolba pop up. You know, the same thing happened last year with Kolba. He had a strong playoff for Edmonton last year. We put him on our rankings late. I don't think we had him on Redline Report's rankings all year, and then finally in April we put him on. He had a good regular season but came up really big in the playoffs. So, you know, I'd be surprised if he's a kid who goes undrafted this year.
Kyle Woodley from the Redline Report joins us. Kyle, when you look at the overall picture of these rankings, you know, the playoffs come up and a kid could have a really good stretch for 3 weeks. Because it's the playoffs and people always think it's more valuable, is it more valuable in your mind, or historically do you try not to get sucked in by a really good short window for a player?
No, you try not to get sucked in. I mean, you know, the bottom line is it's a long grind in an NHL season. It's over an 80-game schedule plus playoffs, and you want guys who can do it consistently over the course of a long season. You know, guys in junior who aren't getting it done over the course of a long season and rev it up for a couple of weeks in the playoff time, it's good. I mean, it'll get them onto the list, and, it'll in some cases move players' value up on the boards a little bit. But, again, you're still looking for that player who's done it over the long haul because he's going to have to do it on the long haul when he gets to the pros.
Bennett, Draisaitl, Nylander, and Reinhardt in most people's books are the best centers in the draft. Kyle, in your mind, Where do you rank those four, 1, 2, 3, 4, and is there a significant drop at any point?
Well, the top four grouping is Bennett, Ekblad, Reinhardt, and Draisaitl. Okay. You know, those are the top four on the board, and it wouldn't surprise us if they went in any order. But I tend to think at this point that the top two players off the board are going to be Bennett and Ekblad, in whichever order you care to mention. And I think, you know, just because of the fact that Edmonton has drafted a lot of really good players, but similar style players who are all kind of like Sam Reinhardt in some respect, I think if Edmonton sat still at number three and was looking for a player to take, they'd be probably a little bit better off going with a big, you know, center who can give you some size and some strength down the middle in Draisaitl.
You know, we know in the NHL at that age that you always try to draft who's the best player, not just for size or a position. But as you mentioned, and trust me, we've talked about a lot here, Kyle, that Oilers definitely have a lot of small guys. And that today's NHL, you need some speed and you definitely need some skilled size. So you're saying Draisaitl, if there's let's say the rankings out of 100, you know, he's maybe one or two below Bennett or Reinhardt. Like, it's that close?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understood your question there.
If, let's say the rankings are out of 100, just to make it an easy number, would you say that Bennett, Reinhardt, and Draisaitl are all within like 1 to 2 to 3 percentage points? Like, there's not a big gap?
No, there's not a big gap at all. I tend to have, we have Bennett at number one at Redline Report, and we've just been really impressed with his heart and his desire, and that's kind of put him over the edge in our minds. But, you know, there's not a whole heck of a lot of drop-off between him and a Reinhardt and a Draisaitl.
Yeah, and the only reason I ask that is because some people wonder, you don't take size if it means the player isn't as good. But in your case, the gap is so small that size is the best fit for Edmonton.
That would be my take on the situation. I think you could use a big, you know, strong winger, a big, strong center down the middle more than you can use another player who... I honestly think Reinhardt projects better on the wing in the pros because I think he's more a goal scorer than a playmaker. He does both, don't get me wrong, but I think if you put Reinhardt on the wing in the pros with a good center who can get on the puck, he'll fill up the net.
Oh, interesting. And one quick one for you. Of all the guys outside of the top five, who do you see as maybe a surprise player that might go a lot higher at the draft than maybe expected?
Well, the one guy that we really like at Redline Report over the course of the second half of the year is down in Calgary, just down the road from you a little bit, the big defenseman named Travis Sanheim. And he's a guy that first half of the season, October through December, you wouldn't even have noticed him. And then all of a sudden in January, he started taking off, and he just got better and better and better.
I wish we had more time. I know we got a little bit late to this, so we'll get you on again, Kyle. I really appreciate it. I know you got to go, so we'll do it again soon. Thanks for your time.
Okay, Jason, thank you.